All right. Well, welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Path Positive Approaches to Health podcast. We are so excited to have you on here today. I am Jenny Pitcher, and I'm coming to you from Columbus, Ohio, and across the nation. On the other side, we've got, I don't know, some girl. Her name's Tony. Tony Toledo. I'm over here in Campbell, California. And we are so excited to be here today. Jenny, tell folks what this is about today.
Well, we're doing kind of a one-off, I guess you could call it, episode on mental health awareness, because May is National Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we thought we would do an episode with Tony and I talking through some of the past episodes that we have had on our podcast. And we've talked to a lot of mental health experts, Tony. And so, you know, we were talking through this, like how do we want to really, like I said, nod to the month, nod to this really important topic. And we thought, what better way than to highlight some of the things that we have talked through on this show? So that's what we're going to bring to you all today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one thing I don't even know if we said it out loud when we made the decision to do this episode, but I think it warrants underscoring here, Jenny, is that, you know, as two dietitians, obviously we are not trained in the area that these experts are that we've had on that we're going to be spotlighting. And we never attempted to, you know, treat, so to speak, on this pod. You know, it's all about picking up ideas and strategies and healthy promotion for healthy behaviors and health in the broad scheme, not just nutrition. And that was a decision we made early on. However, I don't think either of us had an inkling of how much we personally were going to benefit from talking to these people, having these conversations, learning about these tools and resources. And, you know, we've mentioned many times on our conversations, our health has been improved or protected in part because of these people we've had on, the conversations we've had, and that, you know, we were doing this for our listeners and we benefited. So I kind of guess that's part of it too, right?
Oh, 100% it is. I mean, we've benefited mentally, physically, and we've increased our knowledge. You know, we've learned so much from our guests, which I think is a big part of what keeps us coming back, right? We're both learners. And I think, you know, just there's so many different facets to health, and we've explored so many different topics on this show. But I think there's a few kind of overarching themes, if you will. And I think mental health is one of them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it's okay with you right now. You can hear me rustling with some papers, but can I read a little bit from something that we discussed briefly, or, you know, at least sent back to each other information to kind of prime ourselves for the conversation?
Yeah.
I was just going to read a little excerpt out of Proclamation on National Mental Health Awareness Month from last year that was out of the White House. But I'm just going to go through this quick little sentence or two here. It says, each May, we raise awareness about the importance of mental health and its impact on well-being of all Americans, including children, adults, families, communities across our nation. We also give thanks to the dedicated mental health providers whose service and support improves the lives of so many Americans. We stand in solidarity with those who are experiencing mental health conditions and renewing our commitment to providing them with the support they need and deserve. Now, again, that's coming through the White House, but I think it really speaks to how we feel as well on a micro level with just the pod and our compassion and sensitivity and appreciation for this work.
Do you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
When the first time I read that, I thought you had written it. So, I mean, you could be a speech writer, or maybe this wasn't a speech, but you could be a writer at the White House, Tony.
Oh man, you give me way too much credit. I don't know who you think you're working with, sister.
It was pretty funny. I was like, oh, that's not from Tony.
Well okay. Done, John. Good job.
Well, and in that, I like how he also points out that you know, we had this problem prior to COVID mm-hmm. with, you know, I'm sure the opioid epidemic exacerbating a lot of it. But as he points out, before the pandemic, millions of Americans were experiencing stress, trauma, anxiety, and heightened levels of depression. And then COVID hit and just, you know, made all of that even worse. And so I think so many people are much more aware of the importance of mental health. I mean, if that's one good thing that came out of COVID, and there are a few good things that came right. out of COVID for sure. But I think one of them was this heightened awareness around mental health and the importance of it, but also that we're all responsible for helping to fix it, right? And that's where Vivek Murthy's workplace mental health work comes in, and this kind of framework that he set out in late 2022, this came out regarding mental health in the workplace, which, you know, I know a lot of people, of course, children don't work and are not in the workforce, and, you know, a lot of stay-at-home folks, but, you know, there's 160 million people that are part of the workforce. So this definitely impacts a lot of folks. And it's not just about creating workplaces that support mental health and mental health awareness, but I think more importantly, he sets out a framework that really, when put in place, can help people thrive at work. And that's really, you know, what he's getting at, which I think is lovely. So we can talk a little bit about that as well. But I think, you know, that's, again, lots of negative things about COVID, but I think that's a really big positive that came out of it.
Well, and let's be honest, along with that and sort of embedded in what you just said is the fact that mental health as a concept, as a construct, as an issue was just, you know, skyrocketed to the top of conversations. And with that, a lot of the stigma around discussing these things has come down. I mean, it's still there, but I was just reading another little thing I pulled up in preparation for today. That's this great little resource and tip blog that I found, but it says approximately 18.1% of Americans 18.1% of Americans suffer from depression, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder. Now, those are just those three, right? It's increasingly important to understand the realities of living with these conditions and strategies for attaining mental health and wellness. Now, those are three things you plug in on the spectrum of mental health, all the other stuff. And again, we talked about work, but everything here applies to just being a human and living and surviving and trying to thrive. And so we have felt, I think, that, of course, resources are important, and we'll put the links in for Dr. Murthy's resource into the show notes and spotlight a few more things there. But, you know, just making sure we're utilizing resources and tools, and sometimes it's about reading, sometimes it's about seeing, you know, something on TV or watching a special or what have you. And a lot of times mental health really is something really good to explore through your ears. Because it's then in your head, you can kind of process it. I know you and I have done this independently through pods and other places and then come together and have conversations around it. So again, circling back to how fortunate we feel to have been a part of each of these episodes we're going to talk about next, you know, they came through our ears first and allowed us to kind of think about them. And then whether it went straight to our heart or our heads, we were able to think about how might these help our own selves, our family members, our friends, our community, our patients, you know, and beyond.
Yeah, I like that, Toni. And, you know, this is a resource. And let's not forget that resources are scarce right now for mental health. As President Biden says, too many communities lack sufficient numbers of mental health providers. There's a fragmented system. It's difficult for people to access. Less than half of Americans struggling with mental illness receive the treatment they need. And so, again, we're not saying this is, you know, treatment. we're just highlighting some of the things that we have learned and some of the things that we have available through this podcast in discussions with mental health providers.
Yep. So, and again, back to kind of the impetus for this episode, I believe came from us pulling and plugging in popcorn psychology in our most recent episode, where we scratched a bit upon this statistic you just mentioned. And again, how important it is to have these conversations and to think about mental health through filters that work for you. In that case, it was through movies and learning about it, but there's a lot of different ways, and we'll go through some of them. I think, I don't know, we're almost ready, I think, to spotlight a few of our episodes, but I know one of the things we sort of joked around, but maybe we should do it, is that we both have a ton of music for this episode, and we'll do a little playlist discussion at the very end. Both Jenny and I have quite a few songs to share, and we thought it might be fun to do kind of like a walk-up song, like baseball, ready to take the first pitch. You know, you have your music that kind of amps you up. If you want to do a couple of yours, and I'll do mine, and then tease it up, because then we'll share a little more at the end.
Well, I don't know how much, you know, these songs are going to like get people motivated and excited, but these are songs that really spoke to me when I was going through hard times, you know, around the time of my divorce, around the time of my son's cancer treatment, around the time of my mom's illness and subsequent passing. And so the first one is Blue Skies, and it's from a band called Noah and the Whale. And I'll just share the lyrics of the first part of the song. This is a song for anyone with a broken heart. This is a song for anyone who can't get out of bed. I'll do anything to be happy, because blue skies are coming, but I know that it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. It's so, so good. Anyway, I would say that's my big walk up song, which again, I don't know how, you know, pumped up people are going to feel.
That's good, Jenny. Oh my gosh. No, it's great.
What about you, Tony? Well, I know you sent me.
I did. And it's weird because the one that I'm going to share, it has to have a little bit of I have to put a little pin in it for now, because your comment, oh my gosh, am I going to cry? I hope not. Mm. Your comment about the times where music, you know, this particular song has helped you, and some of the examples of your hard times just like overwhelmed me right there, because I remember going through all those things with you.
Mm.
And you know, of course, from across the world, most of them, but how that, I think those things are the bedrock of our friendship, is the relationships that, you know, the relationship and how it's been built on, whether it was my hard times or your hard times, you know, how we've been there for each other. But
yeah,
don't ask me why, but what ended up folding back in, which was not on my list at all, was Good Riddance, Time of Your Life by Green Day, because that was on the playlist that we made for you when you moved away.
Yeah, I remember.
And that is a song that I love so much, but it's also, it's a reflection of a really hard time. And I just remember thinking, how can I let her go? How is she leaving? You know, not knowing 23 years ago or 20, however long, 22?
Something like that. Yeah, 22 or years.
Maybe 20, I don't know. It was a long time ago, but not knowing how our relationship would maintain, sustain, you know, keep alive, and to think that our friendship is even stronger now through all of those hard times is crazy, because it starts with that Good Riddance. Not that that's what I was saying, like Good Riddance, but you know, that was the song. And here we are 20 something years later, having the time of our lives doing this podcast. So, I mean, basically the ups and downs, they're all part of that journey. And sometimes you really need to like slog through the hard times.
And I think it's important to note here, Tony, that we are saying this as two very privileged people.
Yes.
Who have plenty of resources, families that support us, you know, plenty of friendships that are supportive, jobs that are supportive, And we, neither of us suffer from a mental health issue. So we are privileged in that way. And so when we talk about these things, when we talk about the music and all of it, it's just, I think it's easy to forget that mental health is a whole other level, right?
No,
so I'm glad you mentioned. I thought I would point that out.
Well, you need to. And because it is a bit of a disclaimer that's important. And at the same time that we're disclaiming these things, I think it is the great equalizer in that even without a mental health condition diagnosis, we have to have these conversations going regardless, because it is surely more severe, some dire straits, and we are coming from this place you just described. I'm so glad you said it.
Well, and I mean, we're able to do this work because we have a solid understanding of it. Again, we're not mental health clinicians by any stretch, but the people that we work with and support, the people who are around us, I know many people in my family, have mental health issues. So in order to help those around us.
No, it's a great point. I'm so glad you said it. And then I'll circle back to, and maybe this is where that song that I really was going to have as my walk-up song comes into play, because funny how that works. Is on my run today, when I was thinking about this episode and recording this episode, Mi Gente by Common Kings came to me, and it's very short. I think it might be a portion of a live version. I don't know. Mi Gente in Spanish means my people. I think that, of course, you're my people. That goes without saying. But I think about my people as this listenership, this community we have on the pod, and all our people's people, and the people in our communities. And we need to be in conversation with our people. And that is not always easy. And of course, mental health is sometimes really tough to talk to people about. I just felt this really big sense of like, oh, we're going to talk to each other and our people about something that really matters. And we are tapping into our people. Nuestra gente, our gente, our people, yours and mine now on this podcast, who have come and left a mark on us. And so mi gente is what it was in my mind when I was thinking about some of the gente, some of the people we're going to talk about right now on episodes that have left a big mark for us in this context of mental health. So do you want to start us off, Jen, and see where we go on this?
Sure. I mean, I think, I'm glad you brought up popcorn psychology, because of course that was our latest episode that just came out, and it's all things mental health related. But even in and we can just kind of go backwards, maybe from 2022 to 2020, a couple that were not listed on our list, I'll just bring up one from last July, episode 111, Wise My Nutrition, which seemed like a weird one to start with, but he is all about nutrition for mental health. And man, talk about a mini, class and, or what do you call it? Masterclass, not a mini class, a masterclass. That was it. I mean, he is just an amazing practitioner and researcher. And I mean, I learned so much from him. So this was our conversation with Dr. David Wyss, and all things related to nutrition and mental health. So if you haven't checked that episode out, everyone, I would encourage you to do so, because you will learn so much. I mean, maybe even bring a paper and pen to that and take some notes, because it's a big one. And then the other one that wasn't on our list, and this person is not a mental health person, he's not a mental health therapist or anything like that, but Joshua Becker and Things That Matter, I think we hit on a lot of mental health topics there, and just peeling the layers back so that you get to what's really important. So I those are two that I would start with from 2022, the end of 2022.
Yeah, and I think just this week, I don't know if it was in one of his, Joshua's little newsletter things he sends out, but they were talking about the role of clutter in mental health. So mm-hmm. even though he himself, you're right, is not, boy, does his book help with that, and his, all of his work help with that, because we're going through a little of that over here at our house, doing some clutter removal, because it is definitely weighing on us, and it is impacting our, all three of us who are still in the house, our psychology. So yeah. I think those are good points. I'm gonna flip it around a little bit, and I'm gonna go to our wonderful friend Christina Tucker in the Republic of Tea. This was episode 110. That was about tea, for God's sakes, but it had so much of the mental health, well-being, just very raw, and we just went there on so many levels. And yeah. You know, it started off at a tea conversation, but the one thing that I would say as a residual is that my practice of tea drinking has become just that, a formal practice. I try to plug in more. I try to give myself space to breathe and plug in and be mindful even for a moment. And that is very helpful in, you know, times of where my brain feels maybe chaotic or I'm stressed or what have you. So that was a very practical takeaway from a just absolutely beautiful conversation that is a doozy when it comes to health overall.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. Ugh. And I would say the same. My tea drinking and tea practice has changed tremendously. I'll take the next one, Tony, because Oh my gosh. I mean, I remember having this conversation because it was, again, at a time in my life that was especially difficult. I was out in Kansas City when we had this conversation, and man, Dr. Laura Botter and her smile score, which that smile scale is a great little tool for self-care. But even I think more important to me anyway in that conversation was all around the topic of humanism and bringing humanism into medicine and how she's such a huge advocate for that. And so that connection between humanism, social justice, health disparities, yeah, it was such a great conversation, and she is doing amazing work in this area. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but ooh.
No, I just think it's interesting how I think for both of us, we were using our scale before in our work, which was incredible. And now I see ripples of her work with my clients. They have held on to this. I mean, I have one guy who created his own version of the smile score based on hers to look at how he interprets his mental health and how he's doing from an assessment standpoint. So it just keeps on giving is what I'm getting at, above and beyond her being out there pushing. And, you know, I have a couple of very good friends who are physicians, and I am so grateful that Laura is doing the work she is, because future generations of physicians need to have tools like this in order to thrive in their careers and better treat their patients. And, you know, it's just that whole cycle, that whole ecosystem is just very powerful. So, All right, I'm moving on to our next girl. Holy smokes. Shelley Tegelsky, our mindful.
And this is a gift that keeps on giving.
No. Well, Shelley. I remember when I think I texted you and said I had reached out to her, and you were like, wait, what? It was like this whole, because you first brought her to my radar, and then I started following her. And anyhow, when she came, first of all, we had her book, Sit Down to Rise Up. So we were able to read that first, which right there is a great tool to help people explore a lot of different things. But, you know, there's a lot of mental health within that. But just the work she does with the Pandemic of Love, the work she does in just every area of like advocacy, and her star has just flown to the atmosphere. We can't even see it anymore, but she's a hero. She's doing so many great things out in the world, and she's just a great person who normalizes and is so candid with her own mental health issues when she's struggling through them, which again, personalizes and creates a bridge to her community and beyond. And I mean, I'm not even able to articulate all the ways that she and her material and what she does leaves a mark on me, but it's something I'll never forget.
Well, she's a good illustration of how helping others and volunteering can help with your own mental health. You know, the work she is doing is entirely on behalf of others and getting others the help they need because, frankly, the system has failed. And she's picking up where that is left off. And it's just amazing to hear all of the things she's done over the years, but all of the things that she's still engaged in on a daily basis. So she's just, yeah, she's an amazing human. Listen to that episode, follow her on social media, on Instagram. Her work is amazing. I don't know what else to say.
I think that's beyond that. People can just open that gift on their own once they've listened to the pod and done that. Similarly, another person who I think does incredible work here out my way and a podcast that has just swirled around in my brain and in my heart for a long, long time is from Kindful Body. Yeah. I forget if she was Marcella or Marcella Cox. Was it Marcella?
I want to say Marcella, but I don't remember now, Tony.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. She's Marcella Cox. She's amazing. She's in charge over at Kindful Body. And they are a wonderful eating disorder therapy and nutrition counseling resource that just by giving you that title, you know that we went in to so many things. But I felt like this was kind of when a lot of talk was happening around online counseling and the tools available. And she was a warrior for all of that. I don't know. There was just something about her calm and her demeanor combined with her big brain and experience in this field that just gave me such hope and confidence in what's out there from a mental health standpoint, as far as these niche services. It was inspiring to me.
Yeah. And I think it brings up another important topic, which is eating disorders and mental health and how eating disorders just flourished because of the pandemic, and maybe flourished isn't the right word to use, but you know, that became a real epidemic during that time. And I think people just like, well, all the mental health issues that were exacerbated. So I'm glad that we were able to have that conversation with her and that we have that resource in our library for people, because it's huge.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Our next was from 2020, the end. In fact, it was our last episode of 2020. Be a Warrior for Joy is the title. The destination was Peterborough. I can't say that very well, New Hampshire, but we talked with Dr. David Baum. And I can't even articulate how that conversation was so healing to me and just so helpful at such a hard time, right? Yeah, it was a delightful conversation. It was, he had a lot of stories and a lot of great, just great stories. But I think, you know, it was hopeful. It obviously, the title is hopeful, talking about joy and really how to practice it, weave it into your everyday. And in fact, it's one I need to go back and listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I laugh when I think about how that beautiful human came to us also, you know, watching him at a soul food salon, which we don't have Jeannie Rosner on this list, but she has served as a great resource for us. She's a local little dynamo here in Woodside, California, who just brings all these incredible people to these salons, basically a virtual or in-person conversation and community. And as I was listening to him, watching him, I'm like, oh my God, we have to get this guy. And the fact that he just threw his hat in the ring and was like, yes, was another gift. But the thing that I think both Jenny and I, and what the feedback we have gotten from that episode was, you know, the amazing storytelling that he does, the humor and humanity that he threads into all of these universal experiences. Again, just to kind of bring it to a place where you could sit and listen and be with these concepts in a very non-threatening, in fact, very warm and inviting way. That's also part of a process of taking care of yourself or beginning to work on things, is when you're able to be awash in something that engages you. And in his special gift is being this great storyteller of like the granular details that just take you there. And it helps to explore things. And I feel like the joy, the humor, the storytelling are just that like little key that opens that door for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Do you want to talk about our next episode?
No, I think you should take this one because this is your girly.
Oh, she is my girl. So April Blaine came on the show right before for David. So at the end of 2020, we put this up on December 24th of 2020, really as a gift to our community. And it was all about contemplating capacity and what do you have the capacity for. We talked about courage and community and strategies for coping. We talked about how difficult 2020 was. But she is just an amazing human, but also someone who weaves contemplative practices into her ministry, which is unusual. And I just love that she gives her congregation those tools to support their mental health and support their well-being, but also to support, you know, the seeking that they're on. And so she's just a lovely human. And we also put quite a few resources in the show notes, especially around Richard Rohr and the Center for Action and Contemplation or the Living School. So that's another one to check out because, man, woo, full of great resources and ideas and things to really think about.
Yeah, and I think that what's interesting too is that many of these episodes had sprinkles of spirituality within them. And, you know, we are not obviously any kind of denomination or anything, but we are aware and we are believers in the fact that connecting to who you are, your spirit, you know, your core values and everything is such an important part of the health journey overall. And I think that a couple of these episodes, some of our guests, you know, are in that world, more of a religion slash spirituality world. And there's just a lot of overlap and your job is to find what works for you. And I'm always amazed at the things I can learn from people who have maybe historically different belief systems, but there's overlap and insightful discussion from that. So anyway, it's sort of in the same vein, but a little bit more of a practitioner, formal practitioner, I'd say, would be our K. Nicole writing episode was from October 21st of 20. Katrina Nicole is an amazing therapist, social worker. I mean, she's got, I don't even know how many accolades and accredit, you know, credentials, so to speak, but she's out of Oklahoma. And when we got her on this episode, talk about chock full of resources. I mean, I felt like we had, before we sat down with her, we had to sift through because there were so many practical tools. It was an embarrassment of riches. And still, every so often I pop back onto her website or I'll listen to that episode again, or I'll refer someone to a tool or I'll use a tool, because talk about a catalog. This woman has so many incredible resources and she is a mover and a shaker and just an incredible person, but she's doing the work and she's inspiring others and she's crossing cultures and age brackets. And I mean, she is making stuff happen, not just in Oklahoma, but the ripples are far reaching.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So yeah, that was episode, I'm not sure what number episode, but it was from October 21st. I think you already said that, 2020.
Yeah, it was before we had numbers, I think.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, such a good one. Such a good one. And then the I guess the month right before that, so September 14th of 2020, we talked about National Suicide Prevention Month. And, you know, the conversation was real for sure. So we talked with licensed marriage and family therapist, Alexis Donato, and she took us through mental health CPR or QPR. And, ooh, you know, it's a great tool. I notice a lot of people now have that like in their signature that they're mental health first aid certified or, you know, something like that. But I think this ability to talk about mental health, but suicide in particular, is so incredibly helpful and useful. And she opened up that conversation. And I just think it was very, very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, in a conversational manner that was engaging, candid, you know, very raw and authentic, but practical. And I think that's like, I remember after listening to that, rethinking how I communicate with my friends and family.
Yeah.
And going from maybe a little afraid to talk about things to saying, get over yourself, Tony, and ask the question, or, you know, toss out the resource or risk that. Risk yes. being wrong, but being safe. And in fact, I was having a conversation with a loved one. I won't say who, but someone recently that was having a really, really hard time. Like one of those times when you're just like in a room with someone going, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do right here.
Yeah.
And I had this moment, and I don't think it was just because of this conversation with Alexis, but many of the conversations we've had where I was like, I was quiet for a while and I said, do you feel like you're in a place where you feel like you might hurt yourself? You know, like Jenny, I don't say that, but I felt like I have to say this right now because this is my responsibility to ask this question. And of course, I listened to a lot of pods. So I had just listened to one that had the suicide prevention phone number and then the talk, you know, what is it, 988 or what? I mean, like I was, all these things were floating around in my head, but I'm like right here, right now, as a human in this room with this person, I need to ask this question. And it scared me. But
sure it did.
So that's what, I mean, cumulatively.
Scary topic.
These conversations and all their widespread, you know, content have brought it also back to not just what can I get personally from a mental health standpoint, but how does this equip me to help and be available for the people around me kind of thing. So I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I think what was so lovely about that conversation, besides just the candid nature of it, is how she left us with a more positive note to these traumatic events. And that was her explanation of post-traumatic growth, which I really, I mean, that stuck with me.
Yes, yeah. Jenny. Yeah. And another term that before we had that conversation with her, I don't know that I knew I'd heard it or known it. I'm not sure, but it has been a really interesting conversation point with lots of people afterwards. They've known about it. Now I'm familiar with it. And it's such a hopeful way to move forward from something. So no, she was delightful. And I follow her just socially on Instagram. And when I see her out and about, and her daughters go to school with my daughter. And, you know, I just have this little bit of like light because we were able to share that conversation with such a skilled practitioner doing beautiful, beautiful work. The next one, I had to go grab the book and to have it in my hands.
Yeah.
When we talk about Lee Wolf, is it Blum or Bloom?
Bloom.
Bloom. Courage. That was the topic. The finding courage to be the real you. The name of the book is Brave is the New Beautiful. And this was a gift from one of my other critical Jennies, Jenny Bradley, who I'm going to see in a week and a half. Like a sister to me. This is a good friend of hers that came on our show. And what a book. I have bought this book for so many people, shared this with so many people. men and women. I mean, sure, maybe it's like a little bit of a bent towards female perspective, but it is equal opportunity, great info. That conversation left a big mark in so many ways. I've gotten tons of feedback from that conversation in this book. And this is another woman who I think did some hardcore interrogating into mm-hmm. what her purpose on this planet was. And it was to candidly share really important stories, her own and those of others, to help us.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Jenny, I know this book, one of the things we both liked were sort of the action steps, you know, the four reflection at the end of each chapter. We're suckers for that.
Yeah, we are. We are. Yeah. Well, and, you know, being brave and finding courage, acting courageously, I think is a skill, you know, and there are things that you can do to hone those skills. So that's what she gave us in that book.
She sure did. Mm. We're round in third, and I got to remember that at the end of this, we want to do a little bit of musical reflection, but we have three more right now, and it's probably a good spot to say that this was a difficult decision to choose which ones we were going to talk about. It's not to say that ones that didn't show up here don't have the same level of, you know, impact or what have you, but we just kind of did a little victory lap through and plucked some. So I probably should mention that. But the next one is a good friend of mine who I used to work with, Elizabeth Ong, who came on and did a deep dive into the stress cycle. This was back in April 12th of 2020. So we were just at the, no? Yes?
Yeah, no, it was. I'm shaking my head because I was like, God, can you believe that period
that was
of time?
3 years ago, Jenny, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And it seems like yesterday, and it also seems like 30 years ago.
Well, it's sad that I said 3 years ago and I had four fingers.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that was one of our BCBs in completing the stress cycle. And while we sip, while we shelter in place, I mean, it's so weird to think about that we were all just at home at that point and just wondering, okay, what's happening?
No, it's, and you know, I've had requests to bring that topic back through, whether it's with my clients or my class or what have you. And can you still hear me? What's happening?
Oh,
what?
Okay. Sorry. I needed to point this out. I heard your voice and I was like, wait, what's happening on the computer? I accidentally pressed play on my phone. And so you were talking, I got very confused. Oh my God. Sorry. So
you mean one of our episodes and me were talking at the same time? Oh, that's funny. We are leaving that in. That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
You can't escape me. I'm sorry. I'm never going anywhere. But I do have clients who ask for this topic. It comes up. I mean, and just the other day, I was listening to a popcorn psychology episode. Talk about a name drop here. And they were talking about flow state. And I was like, oh, yeah, because it brought me back to that in the discussion with Elizabeth. They talked about the, you know, the freeze, the fight, the fawn, you know, the flow, all of the pieces. And of course, Elizabeth's a little smarty pants, great, great dietitian. But bringing this in at that time of the pandemic where everyone was like, what the heck's going on? It has been a tool that has just been present for me, you know, my clients, my friends, my family ever since. And it's just left a big, big mark. Super cool BCB.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, the Nagoski sisters on top of it and their book. And I mean, we talk about this in our work today all the time, how important it is to complete the stress cycle. People do not realize the importance of that still. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
Perfect. That is a good one to listen to.
All right, sister, bring it up to my boyfriend now. Go, go, go.
I mean, this one, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to like, yeah, so we had the gift of talking with Dr. Fred Luskin, who is the founder and director of Stanford University Forgiveness Projects. I don't know how we even were able to get him to talk to us, And I remember he was in his car, like in a Whole Foods parking lot during our conversation with him. But forgiveness and the topic of forgiveness, and this was pre-pandemic, right? This was pre all that nonsense, and how it's even more impactful now, more than ever. But he talked about a four-step plan for initiating the practice of forgiveness. And again, it's a practice, just like bravery, just like courage. Forgiveness is a practice. And he has been engaged in this work for how long, Tony?
Oh,
30 years?
Over 30 years, has to be. Because Jenny, you're discounting your friend's wily ways. We got him because I used my Riz. I definitely used it because I had a huge crush on him when I worked at Stanford. I used to like be making my coffee and I'd see him go by and I'd go, because I was just a crush on what he did, you know,
his work. Yes.
And so I sent him a little back channel message. And when he responded, yes, I almost like didn't know what I was looking around like, wait, what? Because, you know, it was like Elvis was in the building, you know, I was so excited. But he definitely allows you and encourages you to believe in the potential for what forgiveness does for health. And I just think that everybody is all the better. The community, the world is better, but you got to start with like how it serves you to forgive for you, you know? And that I think I showed a lot of my true colors and a little bit of my darker side on that episode, but I got a ton from it too. And I get a lot of feedback. When we did our most recent, what's your favorite episode? It came up from several people as their favorite.
It's such a huge topic, Tony, because it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to forgive.
Yeah, it is. It is. So let's do one more and then we'll jump into our music, I think. Right? Sound good?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one, oddly enough,
No, go ahead.
So this one was the last, I think, maybe this last or the second to last in-person one that we were able to do. A friend of mine from high school came onto the pod, Tammy Ruse. She was in town. She used to live in Australia at the time. And she's a meditation just guru. And we just talked about the power of meditation in mental health and wellness. And I mean, my voice is kind of cracking a little bit because I think it's such a powerful tool. And of course, you being a yogi, you know this better than most and the benefits. But it's just one of those easy, I think, easy to listen to episodes that, again, has got great stories and very practical approaches. We do a little meditation with her. I don't know. I feel like it checks all the boxes.
It does. And I think, you know, some of these episodes are more like listen for like information. This is, like you said, this is practical. These are tools. These are, you know, tangible things that you can do in the moment, which I love.
Me too. Me too. Oh my God. So this is a tricky thing because I know for me, it's like closing this door on this episode feels a little bit like I'm leaving people on the other side, you know, because like we said, we can't and couldn't cover all of them. Each of these episodes is like one of our kids. We love them all for different reasons and we've gotten different things. The ones that we didn't mention here are going to show up in some other recap in another place because there's such common overlap with so many of these cool things. So anyways, I don't know if we want to turn a little right here and do a little musical reflection or what do you want to do next, Miss J?
Yeah, I think that sounds good. Why don't you take us through some of yours?
Okay. I was just going to pull up the hotline to mention at the very end. So maybe while I'm talking, do you want to pull up that phone number so we make sure to put it on here? We'll just do all our business in front of everybody right here.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay.
Well, and I think now it's just the shortened version, right? The 988.
Well, that's if you're going to text. Or can you call that too? Maybe you can call it too. I don't know. I'm showing my limited knowledge here, but.
Well, we'll go ahead and just talk about it. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, TALK, but it transitions to a simple 3-digit number, 988.
Beautiful.
And that was in July of last year.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Yeah. All right, so I'll go. Do you want me to just spin through some and you go? I mean, how do you want to take this on? Because we both have a lot.
I know, we do. Yeah, take me through some of yours and then I'll take you through some of mine. I won't take you through all and yeah, we'll be okay. Good.
So my version of this is an hour and 45. I cannot wait to add on Miss J's because I'm sure we're going to have hours of music for you. But I'm going to kick it off with, oddly enough, random enough, Willie Nelson.
Aww.
Willie Nelson and Lucas Nelson singing Just Breathe.
I had Pearl Jam on there, Just Breathe.
Yes. Well, Jenny, I mean, please, it's a great starter song because yep. So much of this involves just going down to the basics, connecting, slowing things down so we can start to make sense of some of the things we're experiencing before we even move on to what can we do about it. I also put in It's My Life by Talk Talk, call back to previous generation. But I think, again, when you said something to the effect of it's our job, you know, we're responsible for this individually. It's my life. We get one go around, you know, so let's see what it is that we can do and how we can empower ourselves. And I know, like you had mentioned, we are not suffering from some of these debilitating mental health issues where you're like, I don't even know what to do. But maybe it starts by knowing you're not alone and then trying to figure out where to go from there. I mean, baby steps.
Yep.
Really, really important. I also picked Trustfall by Pink because, you know, I think that so much of working on mental health also is a surrender.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I've got The Light by Juice WRLD. That song makes me sad because he's gone. But, you know, some of his emo music really connected with generations and he had a really way too early departure from this planet. But, you know, I love that song, The Light. Riptide by Vance Joy.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Somewhere Only We Know. This one's by the Lily Allen version. I think that, again, you know, just that song is very powerful. The Killers, the Mr. Brightside, Stay With Me, Sam Smith. You know, some of these are pretty obvious as far as just kind of like the soft and the tenderness and the fragile nature of some of the things we're talking about. Be All Right by Dean Lewis. Break Even by The Script. And then today on my run, I added Gives You Hell by the All-American Rejects. And and then last, my last guy, this is not his original song, but the way he sings it is so unique. And that is Barry White singing Just the Way You Are.
Oh, I don't know if I've heard that.
It's you got to leave your Billy Joel version behind and let it be Barry White's. But I had just run into my friend Jeannie on my run with her little dog, Wesley. And we were talking about R&B and all kinds of stuff. And Barry White was in my brain. And so this song came to mind. But that's a selection. That's a top layer selection of the songs that landed when talking about mental health. So what do you got, Miss J?
Well, I'll just mention a few. I have Grey Room by Damien Rice. And that's, you know, enough said about that. Boys Don't Cry by The Cure. Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. I mean, these are, you know, super obvious. Sorrow by The National. And one that I'll end with this one. I listened to over and over and over and over and over again because I feel like it's a hopeful song, but it's by Mumford & Sons, After the Storm. And that was around that time in my life with my divorce and, you know, my mom's sickness and death and all that. So yeah, that brings me back. We're getting a storm, I think.
Speaking, are you getting a storm there the storm today in Columbus?
Yeah. We've got some big wind right now. So,
Gosh. Well, it's so fitting that you ended with, I know you have others, so send me all of them. We'll put them on the playlist. Mumford & Sons, because that, I can only think of you whenever I hear a Mumford & Sons song. That, I mean, there's no room for anybody else.
Man. I mean, there was a time, you know, that, yeah. that they were a time in my life for sure. Yeah. Big.
And I guess it would be a good point right now to just underscore the value of music. You know, we talked about how having conversations in your ears, you know, to let the ideas and concepts wash over you. And, you know, we know the power of music. I mean, music was not an original component of this pod. It was not something that we were going to make a piece of it structurally, but it has shown up because it's just part of the DNA now. It's what we do.
Oh yeah. I mean, it showed up very organically and it made sense to keep it. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's integral.
It is. And I think that allowing for, like, I was just picking up my new glasses the other day and this delightful young receptionist and I started talking and I don't even know how. Oh, we started talking because there was an EMD or an ED, what is it? EDM, electronic
EDM.
EDM song yeah. came on while I was in the shop and it was Marvin Gaye made into like an EDM version, right?
Oh, interesting.
And so I was like, what? And I was loving it. And I was walking around. It was just me in the store. It had just opened and in the shop and this young lady and I start talking about music and the power of music. And so we, you know, this old lady, this young girl, it just was a connector. And we just ended up talking about a million different things. And then she shared with me, she goes, oh, have you ever heard of lo-fi fruits? And I was all, first of all, like, what are these words? I don't even know. And I grabbed my phone, felt like I was 100, and I pulled it up. And there's a bunch of different lo-fi types of music, but this lo-fi fruits music, I started playing it and I just felt my blood pressure go down. Mm. And I felt myself just kind of go like, ooh, it was a busy day and I had to get my glasses and move along. And ooh. And so I told the girl, thank you. I'm going to explore this, you know, and I played a few of it. You know, I just got the group a couple days ago, but last night I was having a hard time falling asleep. Just had a lot on my mind. And so boop, I hit it and had it playing really quietly on my bedside. And I could feel myself calm with this little,
wow.
And I thought, first of all, thank you, receptionist at, you know, Fred Slater OD or whatever it was. Like, you know, how is it that she knew I needed that? But it was a visceral reaction. And I thought, I get so much of my reactions to music are in my brain and in my heart. And this was physical that yeah, had impact yeah. on those others. And I just thought, dang it. And so I feel like music is just something that we are so fortunate to be able to always escape to or run to when we need it. And I think this playlist is going to do a lot for me personally, Jenny, because when I'm
same
going through it, I can come back to it and remember this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I think that's a good place to end.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. This has been a great conversation. I'm so glad we did this.
Me too.
And it was fun to go through all of those different episodes, remembering those guests and what we talked about. And I hope this lands gently for people and they find it helpful and yeah, maybe pick up a thing or two from it
yeah.
in the process.
Thank you. I know when we set off to do this, we're like, eh, what are we going to do? And then we just kind of trusted that process. And I'm super stoked with what we spot lit or discussed. And it sure does remind me, though, Jenny, of this journey we've been on and just the incredible gifts that have come our way and how gratitude plays into every single episode, every single meeting we have. Every note I get from people on Instagram or we get feedback on the website. I mean, it's just a part of this incredible process that has been just, I don't even have the right word. Gift doesn't even seem good enough. I just feel like it's just enriched our lives in ways that I love words. I can't find them.
Well, if you can't find them, I certainly can't. But yeah, I would agree. It's this thing that we, what's everyone saying now? Didn't know we needed.
Yeah. All right, sis. Well, I love you and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you too. Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, Tony.
Peace out, girl.